That's right. The show goes on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson with you. Francisco Rojas is behind the glass. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show this evening. Paul Jolovitz headed home for the night. As I come to you from the Tasty Cake Studios again, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Lots going on in the world of Philadelphia sports. Of course, the Phillies, they get a huge, much-needed 12-1 shellacking of the Arizona Diamondbacks on Saturday. Christopher Sanchez signed to a four-year contract extension of the club option in 2028 and 2029. He is going to be a Philly, avoids arbitration. They had a press conference down at Citizens Bank Park before the game earlier on Saturday. We'll play some audio from that later on the show. But where I wanted to start tonight and where I wanted to talk about here tonight was those exact Philadelphia Phillies. And watching the game today and watching that press conference and hearing the news, and you heard me a little bit say it in the crossover there with Paul Jolovitz, I can only think one thing. And that is, I think we're watching the best, I think I'm ready to say that I think we are watching the best era in Philly's history. Do you agree? 215-592-9494. Let me very, very quickly explain what I mean by this, because I know what you're thinking. How can it already be the best era in Philly's history? They haven't won the World Series. They haven't even won a division yet. I get it. I understand that to be considered that, they need to go win a championship. This Phillies team needs to go get the job done. This will be a failure of a season, flat out, if they don't get the job done. It's World Series or bust. There's no denying that. But I think there's two types of people in this world, two types of sports fans in this world. There are people who are willing to acknowledge greatness as they're watching it in the moment, willing to project a little bit. And there's people who are, you know, a little bit more reactive, a little bit more, hey, we'll wait and see. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, when we look back, that's exactly how I'll view it. But I want to hear from you, the callers, you, the listening audience here tonight. Are you willing to say, are you willing to not be a coward? Are you willing to break out of your shell as a sports fan and say, hey, we are watching the best era in Philly's history right now. We are watching the most talented era in Philly's history right now. And this team, you're confident, will get it done, will go out and win a World Series. And that eventually, when we look back on this run, 2022 to whenever we eventually say this era ends, that this will be the greatest era in Philly's history. Do you agree? 215-592-9494. Let me give you the first reason why I think this will go down as the best era in Philly's history. I used to think this window and this particular team would close hard, like close really, really hard. And, you know, it kind of, the way they built this team, not exactly the same way they built the team from 2007 to 11. There were a lot of homegrown guys on that team. There, it was a lot of, you know, building through the draft and, you know, building through your minor league system and a lot of guys who were homegrown Phillies. Ryan Howard was a minor league Philly. Chase Utley came up through the system. Jimmy Rollins, Pat Burrell, Cole Hamels, who just, you know, had his retirement ceremony at Citizens Bank Park on Friday. Like, the core members of that team were homegrown. You look at this team, Bryce Harper's not homegrown. Best hitter on the team. Best pitcher on the team, Zach Wheeler. He's not homegrown. The catcher, JT Realmuto, is not homegrown. Kyle Schwarber, Nick Castellanos. You could go all over the place. There's a ton, you know, the bullpen, a lot of not homegrown talent on this particular team. Trey Turner, certainly not homegrown. But when I look at this team, I used to say, this team's going to crash hard. Like, JT Realmuto, he's a catcher. He gets into his 30s. We know catchers don't last into their 30s. That's not going to last. Zach Wheeler, how long is he going to be great for? Like, not that the Mets had a point, but he's not going to be some Philly late into his 30s. He's not going to be an ace forever. Like, they got a couple of really good shots at this, and then it's going to end. Kyle Schwarber, Nick Castellanos, how long are they going to hold up? I used to think that this was not a team that was built to win long-term. And by the way, it was not a team known for developing talent either at this particular point. I mean, think a few years ago, we used to hear all the time, how bad this farm system was. What do they even have to offer in a trade? Like, what would they even have to go out and try and buy at the deadline in terms of prospects? Like, what prospects do they have that anyone else would want? This is, of course, before Aiden Miller. This is, of course, before Andrew Painter. Like, that used to be the case. And once again, I understand that this team needs to punctuate it with a World Series. No one will look back on this particular group fondly or as fondly as they should if they don't punctuate it with a World Series. But I'm willing to say right here, right now, like, I feel like we're watching it now. I feel like we're watching the greatest era in Phillies history now. Do you agree? 215-592-9494. Francisco, forgot to tell you before the show, but I have a cut on my cut sheet here tonight. I wanted to play a piece of audio. In case you missed it, John Middleton and Dan Hilferty, that's, you know, obviously managing partner and owner of the Phillies, governor of the Philadelphia Flyers, were on earlier in the day with Glenn Macnow and Mike Sielski. The entire audio of that interview is on some of our social media pages and our website, and obviously can rewind on the Odyssey app, on their podcast. You can find it everywhere. And it's an awesome interview, definitely worth your time. They were in studio with them for an hour. John Middleton, when talking about, by the way, the two of them were there talking about the South Philadelphia Sports Complex project. That's why they had them together. But John Middleton in particular was asked. He was asked by the two of them, you know, the question that we've all kind of been asking lately, which is, what is this team's approach going to be at the trade deadline? What is this team, like, how much do they value the now versus the future? Are guys like Painter, are guys like Aiden Miller on the table in a potential trade? Listen very carefully to how John Middleton, again, owner of the Phillies, answers this question.
I know we're built to win now, as you say, but we're also built to win 3 years from now and 5 years from now. With players like Crawford and Miller, you know, coming up, Painter coming back. I mean, these are guys who are going to be 22, 23 years old, you know, in a couple of years, and they should be playing at a very high level. And that extends the window substantially. It's very different from, say, I think both the 93 team and the 83 team that had older players who were, frankly, at the end of their careers, and we didn't really have the farm system in either case to prolong the run. So, again, would Dave trade one of those players? I think it depends upon what he would get back. It's just these are the players you cited are really, really good players. And you'd have to get somebody really, really good and for a while.
So first of all, a few takeaways from that clip. Number one, just awesome having an owner of a sports team, you know, who grew up as a fan of that team, is familiar with the history of this franchise, so in and out to know what the situation back in like 1983 and 1993 was. But second of all, and more importantly, and the takeaway I had from the Sanchez news today versus how well they played today and when I watched this team, is that is not a guy who is saying, hey, we're all, like, they are all in on 2024, but we're all in 2024 in a way that we're pushing all of our poker chips in now and we don't care about tomorrow. Like, they do care about tomorrow. This team does care about the future, and they believe they have a window here. The way John Middleton is talking there is like, yeah, we think we're going to be really good this year. We think we're going to be really good the year after that. We think we're going to be really good the year after that and the year after that. And we want to leave our mark on this thing and not have it end hard the way it did in 2011 and not have it just be a one-off like it was in 1993. Like, that's what John Middleton believes. And I think that's exemplified with the contract they, you know, the extension they gave to Christopher Sanchez today. I understand they were just trying to avoid arbitration, but like, they are already starting to think about the having the pieces in place 4 years to come here. And that's what I think symbolically this Sanchez contract that was given out, like, really spoke to me, is that this is not just a team built for the here and now. I used to think that. I no longer think that. I think this is now a team also built for the future. You can hear it in John Middleton's voice. Do you agree? Are you ready to say that we are watching the best era in Phillies history? 215-592-9494. Don't be a coward. Don't be afraid. No one's listening on these airwaves, by the way. Like, the automatic argument back is, how can you say that without having them seen them win a World Series yet? And I understand. But I believe, I'm confident they're going to get that done. I'm not counting my chickens before they hatch here. I'm simply saying that it's okay to project a little bit and okay to appreciate what we're watching in the moment and say, yeah, I believe that 10, 20, 30 years from now, when we look back at this era of Phillies history, it'll be the best we have ever seen as Phillies fans. Again, do you agree? 215-592-9494. The number two reason why I believe this, I mean, name me a pitching staff you'd take over the next 3 to 5 years in all of Major League Baseball over this staff. Zach Wheeler, who oftentimes, you know, if not the best pitcher, like if not a top three pitcher in the sport. It's because he's the best pitcher in the sport. A bona fide ace. Really the only time where he didn't look like it all season was last start in Baltimore. I know we got a huge, huge cushion on Saturday against the Diamondbacks, but he just goes out there and shoves every single time. Aaron Nola, Mr. Reliable, every single time. Ranger Suarez is the odds-on favorite to win the Cy Young right now. And Christopher Sanchez, who, again, if you heard me and Paul Jalovitz in the crossover talk about it, if you would have told me a year ago that he was going to get this kind of contract extension, I don't think I would have believed. I don't think I would have believed that, but here we are a year later, and it's like, wow, what a pitcher he has turned into. And what a pitcher he's turned into really in the last 6 months. And I also want to play a piece of audio, and once again, putting Fran on the spot here because kind of racing before the show. I want this Dombrowski cut here, Fran, where this was from the press conference before Saturday's game at Citizens Bank Park. Dave Dombrowski was asked about Christopher Sanchez, you know, obviously a celebratory time. Christopher Sanchez, by the way, supporting his teammate Alec Bohm at the press conference. He didn't put on the blazer, didn't put on the suit. He literally showed up in a I love this place Alec Bohm t-shirt, which was a pretty cool move. Dave Dombrowski asked, like, you know, why here? Why now? Why do you believe in Christopher Sanchez? Take a listen to what Dave Dombrowski had to say talking about his number four pitcher. Once again, couple of takeaways from that soundbite. Number one, he really did his homework on what everyone in that stadium and everyone in that organization thinks of Christopher Sanchez, and no one has a bad word to say about him. The manager, the pitching coach, the trainers, he asked every member of the support staff, anyone who ever come across Christopher Sanchez, and he asked him, hey, what do you think of that guy? What do you think of Christopher Sanchez? And they all had unbelievably positive reviews. So that's number one. Number two is when I hear Dave Dombrowski talk about the Phillies and the future of the Phillies and just even the here and now Phillies and how much he believes in the guy. First of all, he's unbelievably honest. But number two is I always feel better about the direction of the team. And we have had lots of executives in this city and with the Phillies in particular. We don't have to go that far back. You go to the Clintac McPhail days to go not that far back when these guys would talk and you would want to bang your head up against the wall about the future of this Phillies baseball team. Dave Dombrowski, the way he talks about this team, it's so soothing, it's so confident, it's so real. And the way he talked about Christopher Sanchez is like, yeah, if you told me a year ago we'd feel this good about him, I would have been lying to you. Like, I can't tell you that truthfully. And now we go around every single person in this organization, and we trust him. And it's not even just the past 12 months. Think about last year. Ironically, they signed Sanchez to this extension during an Arizona series because, of course, it was his blunder on the national stage, forgetting how many outs there were on the mound in Arizona last year. I mean, if someone said to you in that moment that Christopher Sanchez was going to get a contract extension next June, like literally less than 9 months later, whatever it is, I'm not sure if anyone would have believed it. It speaks to how much growth they've seen from him, how much growth, as you heard Dombrowski say, they fully expect to see from him in the future. He's not going to rest on his laurels. What they've seen from him in the first couple of months here. And also, again, my overall takeaway here is that they believe he is a pillar for the future here of this Phillies team. And they're not just playing for this year. They're playing for 3 to 5 years down the line here. They believe they have a special run on their hands. Do you agree with me that I'm ready to say we're watching the best era in Phillies history? I think it will go down that way. Do you agree? 215-592-9494. And the last reason, before I get Francisco Rojas' take on this is a front office I trust with my life. I mean, you heard it in the clip there with Dave Dombrowski. John Middleton, we played it a little bit earlier in the segment. These two guys, when they talk about the Phillies, it sounds intelligent. It sounds smart. I trust that whatever they do, they're not just going to move Aiden Miller or move Andrew Painter or move any prospect, frankly, unless they are getting appropriate value in return. They have crafted and molded this team in such a way that is, I mean, it's first class. It is really built like one of the best teams in all of baseball and built like that, again, not just to crash hard, but to last for the next 3 to 5 years here. And I think it's really, really impressive. And it's not like there aren't stains on their resume. I think the Castellanos contract, we all agree, is going to go down as a bad one. But overall, I think these guys know what they're doing. Dave Dombrowski in particular, when it comes to roster construction, knows what he's doing. A lot of the pieces on this team, yes, were they drafted or acquired by Matt Klintak. They were. Dave Dombrowski, you know, you can be a chef and buy all the right ingredients and not know how to cook them up. Dave Dombrowski is that chef, and he cooks a filet mignon just about every time. I feel so confident in the future of this team with these two at the helm. I don't think this team's going anywhere. I believe this is going to result in at least at least one World Series championship. I think this is going to result in the best era in Phillies history. Do you agree? 215-592-9494. Now, Fran, you're in there producing my show. I don't think you've produced
You and Ben for like an hour or something.
Like an hour once. You're hanging out for a couple of hours here tonight.
Right.
Obviously, huge baseball fan. Mm. I mean, am I nuts for how far I've gotten, team? Where are you on this? Like, because the way I look at this news today with Sanchez and how well this team is playing, like, it's the first time I really started thinking about the future, and the first time I was like, no, I'm in the moment. We're watching what's going to go down as the best era in team history.
So I think you make a lot of good points.
Yes.
I'm excited about the next couple of years with this team.
Yes.
But... I was confident last year after game two, just like everybody else,
sure,
that we were gonna sweep the Diamondbacks. They were gonna get one game, maybe get one game, gentlemen sweep.
No, I gotcha. Yeah,
I'm confident this year that we're gonna get back to the Fall Classic, but they got to do it first. Just after last year, I still got to see it. You still got to do it. You got to get back
sad,
to the World
friend.
Series, and you got to win.
Nah,
I'm
you're
sorry.
Being,
I know what you're saying. But it's got to happen.
You're being a coward. Sure. Everyone is going to agree once they get the World Series. Everyone will be on the same page. Oh, my God. Like, what a great team run this is.
But this team's let us down. That's all I'm saying. They let us down last year. They should not have lost to
it. No, they should not. It was I ranked it, I believe, in a top five shortly after that. I ranked it the worst. I think it's the worst Philadelphia sports loss of my lifetime. I don't really remember the Eagles' loss to the Bucks. Like, to close out Veterans Stadium.
The Carolina loss was bad, too.
The Carolina loss was bad. That was really the first sporting event I recall watching. I didn't think I would ever find something worse than losing to the Cardinals in five, getting shut out by Chris Carpenter, 1-0 in game five. But losing to the Diamondbacks last year, like, all things considered, the opponent you had, the opportunity you had to go win the World Series, you had home field advantage, losing game 6-7 at home, like, it was bad, and it's among the worst losses in Philadelphia sports history, but no one's going to care when this team wins the World Series. Like, no one's going to care when we look back on this team. And the difference is, I think the difference why this team will look to... Here's one more point. I'm glad you mentioned that. Why this team will be looked upon eventually more favorably than the 07-11 run. I always think about that 07-11 run. Like, 07 was the first year they won the division. They broke through. Then they win the World Series, like, almost immediately. Like, their first real year. No one expected them to win in 07. 08, they win the first real year. Then the expectations obviously get higher. Their win total goes up in 09. They lose the World Series. Goes up some more in 2010. They lose the NLCS. Goes up some more in 2011. They lose the NLDS. They started high, and with every year that their expectations got higher, their playoff finish got lower. Here's an example of a team. I understand the first 2 years they made the World Series, then lost in the NLCS, but if it results in a championship in year three, year four, year five, it'll kind of be the reverse. Like, they broke onto the scene in a massive, massive way, let us down a couple of times, and then it has the positive ending instead of the positive start and the poor ending, the crappy ending. It leaves a better taste in your mouth. That's just my opinion. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Going to take one quick call, and then going to hit a break here. Tom in Alabama, you're on Sports Radio 94 WIP. What's up, Tom?
Yo, Dan, how you doing, man?
Doing well.
Hey, Bean, you just said that about the toughest loss in your deal, and you mentioned the Tampa Bay game. Joe Girovicius, if you're listening, man, you could drop the restraining order, man. I'm not going to bother you none, man. We're all cool, all right?
Wait, do you actually have – Joe Girovicius actually has a restraining order on you?
It's a joke, Dan. You're supposed to laugh.
All right, I don't know. You were a little serious. Yeah, I was waiting for you to laugh, and then you didn't. You kind of just left it there, and I don't know, Tom. Like, you're a rabid Philadelphia sports fan. I've heard crazier things.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, and that was the worst, man. I had to get on a plane at 8 o'clock the next morning. I was.
I've heard this story before.
That was the worst day.
I know. What do you got on the Phils, Tom?
They are built to win, and You know, it just goes to show you when, you know, when Joe Girardi was the manager, we were wondering what the hell was going on. And then I have to give Rob Thompson a lot of credit. I bashed him, you know, the last couple of years. But, man, he's done a hell of a job since he's taken over. And that guy's been in baseball a long damn time. And he knows baseball. And he knows his players. And he knows his team. And I'm behind him all the way. I think the Phillies have the right guy here. I mean, it's not like Danny Ozark. I mean, Danny Ozark was a good manager. He just wasn't a winner. This guy, I hope, is a winner. But, you know, they should be built. I mean, they got the middle of the lineup. Them guys are all, you know, in the early 30s, Schwarber, Harper, and you got the two guys, Stott and Baum, from the organization, which was a plus. I mean, being the fact that, you know, what's his name, the worst guy in the history of the world as far as baseball, the GM, the president, Andy McPhil, basically ran the damn thing into the ground as far as the farm system. But Sanchez, too, that's another plus right there. And if you go four in a series, you have righty-lefty, righty-lefty. That's the pitching staff. I feel better about this pitching staff than I did in 08.
Tom, I hear you, and I appreciate the call. Yeah, no, it's. I think he makes actually a lot of good points there. Like, certainly than 2008, I think this rotation is better. We've heard comparisons like this rotation versus the 2011 rotation. I still take the 2011 rotation over this one because, frankly, Roy Halladay is just one of the greatest pitchers to ever do it. And as great as Zach Wheeler is, I think Halladay's just in a class of his own if you were to, like, line up these eight guys. And then also, when you talk about rotations, it's not just your four, it's your five. And, you know, your fifth guy, Joe Blanton, who is better than Taijuan Walker. Like, I felt better about that. And you saw, again, Taijuan Walker on Friday. We'll get to a little bit of injury news for him later in the show. But it's just really, really amazing what this team has done. And also what Tom just mentioned about Rob Thompson and how great it is to see, like, a manager who gets his players, is also good tactically managing. It is just truly, truly awesome. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Again, 215-592-9494. On the other side, if you missed Saturday's game, going to get to a few highlights in that game, as well as your phone calls. We will rock it right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.